Hello and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
A historic area of West End is scoring a major residential high-rise.
Speaking of historic, a historic building from Nashville's Prohibition past gets a reboot.
Plus some features that may finally make you wish to live, work, and play near the East Bank.
We'll talk about all of this and more on Nashville Daily.
Good morning, Nashville.
A nice clear morning, which is fantastic. Just saw the forecast for the weekend.
And it looks...
Not excited for that.
No, it looks rough. There were six tornadoes that did touch down on Monday, and there's estimates that storms may be almost kind of the same this weekend.
Yeah, so anything fun that you want to do for Nashville, do... These few weekdays that we have left instead of over the weekend, because you probably won't get that chance.
You do indoor stuff.
Yeah, unless you do indoor stuff. Yeah. You may not want to go outside, though, at
That's
all
true.
If it's storming.
Literally, the News Channel 5 alert I got this morning was flooding. Let's see.
It's like flooding, tornadoes possible.
Strong, severe storms expected Friday night, Saturday. Flooding, damaging wind, and isolated tornadoes are possible.
Yeah, you'll want to stay inside for that. This is pretty cool. We don't get to talk about this often as some of the historic areas of towns, of places in Nashville other than downtown Nashville. We will talk about historic areas of downtown Nashville in a minute, but first there's a place in West End that's part of what is being called the Nashville 9 list in 2020. It outlines historic properties and neighborhoods most threatened by development. And so these areas, when there is the possibility of development, have very, very meticulous meetings and basically goes through these extra layers of security kind of to make sure that these developments are very, very well done and really don't take advantage of these kind of very quick new developments that are popping up along Nashville. But this is in West End. It's 2416 to 2418 West End Avenue. Commonly known as the Firestone Building, it's a triangular lot.
It's because back in the day, there was a Firestone there.
Yeah. 25th Avenue and Elliston, where it splits off from West End. I believe there's like a Smoothie King that used to, is still there?
No, they're closed.
Okay.
I think the Smoothie King's closed. The Rite Aid, I think, is open.
I can't remember.
They may be closed. It looks abandoned over there. It's right across the street from the brand new residential tower from Vanderbilt. So this 27-story skyscraper that we're going to talk about is going to fit into that neighborhood very well, because we went to Love Circle the other day, and we were there at nighttime, and you see the Vanderbilt Tower, and it just sticks out like there's nothing else that size near Vanderbilt, and you're just like, wow, Vanderbilt is really making an impression in Nashville, because they own most of the land in Nashville. That huge building, you're just like, wow, there's nothing near this. And so this, I've thought for years, this little triangle of buildings, I'm like, this just needs to go and it needs to be something else. And it looks like it's going to be turning into a 27-story residential building.
Yeah, and it is very interesting. I'm curious to learn a little bit more about why this triangle made this the Nashville Nines list.
Because it's more than 50 years old,
it's
maybe?
Just it's 90 years old, but it's just a smoothie and a Rite Aid, right? So it's very interesting that it's made this list, but apparently the area and the lot is very important, but the property will be transformed into a high rise called the Sinclair.
The Sinclair.
It's a 27-story tower, which will seem enormous
on that side of town
in that area.
Yeah. I have Google Maps up real quick if you want to pull that up, just so if somebody's wondering where exactly this is.
Yeah, let's take a look.
So right where this mouse is, this is the 25th. This is West End.
Put on the satellite layer. That would be interesting to see. Maybe we could even go into pedestrian mode.
Oh, yeah.
In there.
All right. So if you're listening to this podcast, you need to head over to our YouTube channel, explore.nash. It's interesting that they have all of the buildings under demolition still. That building's completely gone on Google Maps now. Or in real life. But right here where this building is, this is where the 27-story building is going to be. Let me see if I can get in pedestrian mode.
So you got to
click a little pedestrian.
Yeah, and drop him down anywhere.
Drop him. All right. So we are here. We are doing this. There's a Smoothie King there. This had to be, I don't think even the signage for the Smoothie King's in this building any longer.
No. So that's why it's hard for me to think like why this area is historic. There's nothing special about the buildings there. It's just kind of a corner lot. But it has been identified as one of the National 9 areas that they're kind of protecting a little bit harder and looking out for to make sure, I guess, that nothing is taken advantage of development-wise in that area.
Well, so WKRN, they talked about this in the article that we're reading from. The realty company behind all of this, they basically went to 200 different businesses in this area and said, hey, these are our plans. What do you guys think? And it seems like most of the businesses in this area actually approve of this. I don't know if these buildings are going to be knocked down in this process. I assume some of them may be knocked down, but there's definitely no reason that this hotel is going to be knocked down.
Yeah, the cool thing is that GBT Realty will be spending $1.25 million for public improvements outside the buildings itself. So improvements will include a pathway along the eastern section of Centennial Park, along with safety and accessibility improvements on nearby intersections, such as West End and 25th Avenue North and West End at Natchez Trace. So one of the spokespeople for them said that pedestrian crossings, new access way through the eastern part of the park and several intersections will be a part of this. It'll be improvements that will help pedestrian access. It was a big part of what they heard from the local community and importance and relevance to this project. I mean, that's a great way of getting everybody on board, is to make sure that other patrons who might kind of go in that direction and patronize those other businesses have good access to it with better walkways to it. So they aim to break ground in late 2022. And again, this is for the Sinclair, a 27-story tower with 375 units. It'll have ground floor retail, restaurant space, and all below grade parking.
Well, I throw up this photo. This is from Nashville Now Next, the rendering.
Yeah, and, I think that looks fantastic.
That just changed colors dramatically. I don't know what just happened. But that's the building. That's the hotel that's right next to it. And then on the left-hand side is Vanderbilt. So this is going to look absolutely amazing. Imagine waking up and like watching a sunrise and you see the Parthenon with like the sun coming over the Parthenon and everything.
To have this view of Centennial Park would be fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be really interesting to see how much these apartments are going for because of that view of Centennial Park.
Yeah, I think it'll be fairly expensive, but it's kind of bridging that gap slowly between downtown and the end of 440 with high-rise developments. There's a high-rise development right on the edge of 440 in West End.
Yep.
And now this is kind of slowly bridging that gap between downtown and 440. I think, Stuart, you and I have talked about this kind of behind the scenes, but really a lot of the downtown Nashville and a lot of the high-rises, I think, will extend out in the next 15 to 25 years.
Yep.
All the way down to 440. I think that'll kind of be, with the exception of like East Nashville and everything north of 40, everything south of 40 and west of 40 will kind of go into the 440 line, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting how that pans out, because especially in Midtown, when you look at areas on Charlotte Avenue and you're just like, why is this building still a one-story building? This makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
And now you have that brand new hotel, that new, I believe that new Hilton property right off of Charlotte. And so there's going to be a lot of development in Midtown that we're going to see in the next 5 to 10 years, especially what happens with the Beeman lot or what happens with the Subaru lot and all that development. Once that really starts to finalize, then you're going to see developers come in and say, hey, all of Midtown needs to be skyscrapers.
Yeah,
just a matter of time.
It makes it easier for the community buy-in.
Yes.
Whenever there's okay, Vanderbilt's gone a little bit higher. Okay, this corner's got a little bit higher. Like, everybody knows, okay, we're on the same page.
And then even the Rock Block, where, like, Exit Inn is and a few of those restaurants, like, there's some really good plans for, like, 15-story buildings coming into that area. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting how that pans out. But now we're going to make our way into downtown Nashville, specifically to an area called Printer's Alley. If you want to learn more about Printer's Alley, you need to come take a walking tour with us, because we walk through it. We talk about some of the controversies and histories there. You could book your tours at explorenash.com/tours. But there is a building in Printer's Alley. I'm going to just throw up this photo real quick that you can share on the screen, Aaron. And there's a building in Printer's Alley that's going to be seeing some renovations here in the future.
Well, so this is interesting. I feel like a lot of the buildings in this area, I think this one actually is gotten actually some renovation over the past few years.
I believe
hasn't been used.
The front has definitely had renovations.
Yeah.
I don't think the side has. So that's Banker's Alley, going down that hill. And that leads into Printer's Alley, and that's right next to the Bobby Hotel and some other developments in that area.
Yeah, so this building actually is more than just a very nice front-facing building with a long interior. So it not only it houses, I believe, Skull's Rainbow Room. It's a kind of a speakeasy and burlesque show. That's what happens in Skull's Rainbow Room. But also the history of this building going back to the 1800s in Nashville is absolutely incredible. Talk about what it's being turned into in just a second, but do you want to speak to the history of this building?
So historically, well, this area was known for printing. That's why it's called Printer's Alley. In the most like predominant era of printing in Nashville in the early 1900s, there was close to 14 or so printing companies that had their headquarters there. And it just has a lot of deep history. Skull's Rainbow Room has deep history. There's a couple murders that happened near this area. So just a lot of deep Nashville history, a lot of corruption, a lot of people being paid off, especially like the sheriffs and speakeasy type stuff. So if you want to learn all about that, you need to come take a walking tour.
Well, even in the Nashville Business Journal, it talks about the past of this. This building originally occupied the Southern Turf Saloon from 1895 to 1914.
That's awesome.
And so you can definitely bet that this was a place where prohibition did not exist. And so this is a place that has a lot of Nashville history, and it's going to be turned into the Southern Turf Club. So this is going to be a building that will house a lot more than just the Skull's Rainbow Room. So according to the Nashville Business Journal, Bill Miller, he's one of the city's most eclectic tastemakers and downtown power players, is gearing up to turn this building into a multifaceted entertainment venue and hospitality destination. He is a current Nashvillean. He's owned this downtown building since 2017, he will be remodeling this into several things. One is a Sinatra bar and lounge. It's a Frank Sinatra themed venue.
This was actually announced 2 or 3 years ago, this Sinatra themed bar, and it's never came to actual open because of COVID.
Yeah, so that will be on the whole building is called Southern Turf. That will be on Southern Turf's first floor. The next Southern Turf lofts will comprise of 6 short-term rentals on the second and third floors. Imagine staying in rentals that used to be most likely Nashville speakeasies, which I think is actual speakeasies during the Prohibition is pretty cool. All of which have 14-foot ceilings, full kitchens, and laundry facilities. Then, in the fourth-floor penthouse, he'll open a members-only bar concept, which we don't have that many.
We do
here in Nashville.
There's in downtown Nashville. There's probably maybe 5 or 6 true member bars.
Yeah,
but yeah. This is going to be really interesting.
Not too many of them. This is going to be called the Southern Turf Club. It's going to be an homage to the original Southern Turf Saloon, like we talked about earlier, that occupied the building from 1895 to 1914. Kind of also paying homage to that Prohibition type feel, where hey, like, you know, you got to know a guy to enter, but in this case, it's just a member.
Yeah, you have to be a
member only bar.
You have to be a paid member. There's also a paid membership down at Gray's in Franklin, where you get the top level. So the Business Journal goes on to say that initially the Sinatra Bar was going to be 2 floors. But they've reduced it down to 1 floor, and they're working with the surviving Sinatra family to make sure this is like truly his type of bar.
That's so cool.
I'm super excited about this. I love Frank Sinatra. I love his music. I like the big band type stuff. I think will do really, really well in downtown Nashville. And I've been hoping for a big band bar for a very, very long time.
Yep.
And there's no real spaces for big band bars. So I'm super excited about this location.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely incredible. Also, we have a lot of other stuff to get to today, as including we're going to continue on the East Bank that we're getting through this week. We're going to have a great tip of the day for you, so you know how to make the most of these weekdays before the weekend hits. But before, we have to let you know of the Spike program. We've partnered with the Partnership to End Addiction to make you aware of the Spike program. If you're not aware, Davidson County fatal drug overdoses increased by 32% in 2020. It's one of the highest numbers in the nation. And so the trend has not slowed much in 2021. Davidson County, along with several other counties across the nation, have partnered with the Partnership to End Addiction. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to ending the addiction and substance use epidemic in America. They have launched the Spike Alert by Text program for residents. The Spike Alert by Text program is a free and confidential program. It delivers customized messages directly to a subscriber's cell phone. The system allows families, caregivers, and community members to receive spike notifications of overdoses issued by local law enforcement and public health officials. There's one issued, past weekend.
I believe it was on Friday night.
Yeah. Program participants can also receive messages from the Partnership to End Addiction, customized to their family's needs, providing additional support, information, and resources to address a loved one's substance use. I'm on their webpage, which is drugfree.org/spike. That web site is right here on the screen. Some of the opportunities that you can have by signing up for the Spike Alert, you can have discussions about using substances more safely and or to seek treatment. You can take action to prevent loved ones and others, such as getting it's called naloxone, or you may know it as Narcan.
Yep.
And learn how to use it.
Yep.
Basically, if somebody has a narcotics overdose, you can use that.
Yeah.
To help stop that.
It's kind of like a one of those pens, like an EpiPen.
Yeah, kind of like an EpiPen, but for narcotic overdoses. You can talk about the risks of substance use with other family members and friends. These are a lot of resources that are available with this kind of text alert program. And you can have an advocate for support efforts within the community to prevent overdoses. If you want to learn more, you can go to drugfree.org/spike, or you can text SPIKE to 855-963-5659. Again, a lot of this is to make sure you are aware of what's going on. And if this information is relevant to you, go to drugfree.org/spike.
And this is affecting many people throughout Davidson County. So if you know families or friend members that are struggling with addiction and they need help, this is a great resource for them.
There you go. All right, let's head over to Explorers Nashville Tip of the Day.
For Explorers Nashville Tip of the Day, it's the Nashville Scenes Taco Week, week happening until December 12th, so basically this Saturday.
All right.
What does that entail? So these restaurants, some of these restaurants that we're going to talk about, they have $5 taco deals, which sounds like a lot for a
taco.
That
sounds like maybe more
than just a regular taco.
They're charging. It's a scam.
Yeah. Let's see. Participating restaurants for $5 taco deals.
For those who are not in Nashville, that's probably a deal depending on which ones you're going to.
Yeah.
Bakersfield, I see on your list.
Click on the logos to see the specials and details. Okay,
yeah. So Bakersfield. Bakersfield is actually a fantastic place in downtown Nashville, and they're participating in this.
It doesn't say if you get two tacos or just one taco and a drink. Okay, two street tacos. So you're getting two tacos for the price of $5.
That's
from
not
that
bad.
Place.
Yeah.
So some of the restaurants included into Taco Week, you have Fable, Bakersfield, as Aaron just mentioned, Moho Tacos down in Franklin. That one's going to be great.
Goodness.
Especially their hot chocolate, or not hot chocolate, their hot chicken taco.
Hot chocolate taco.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Smoke and Thighs. This is how I actually learned about it. I saw a picture of Smoke and Thigh tacos, and I think they're giving two tacos away, and those things look fantastic.
Oh, that's great.
Fat Bites, Peach Tree Drive-In, Tacos 1989. We just did a tasting of Tacos 1989 a few months ago.
I think a few months ago, yeah.
You can watch that on our YouTube channel, xplr.nash. And then another one, Poncho and Lefties. And there's a list of like 25 restaurants. Also, Moe's Southwest Grill. So if you love Moe's, you can get $5 tacos from Moe's.
There you go. So get out, enjoy the tacos here in Nashville before the weekend weather, and get your nice $5 taco deals all over the city. We'll put the link in the show notes, nashvilledailypodcast.com, for all of these Taco Week deals. That is Explorers Nashville Tip of the Day.
Today's episode of Nashville Daily is in part brought to you by Screen Threads. If you're looking for Nashville-themed merchandise, look no further. Our listeners can use the code Nashville Daily to get 10% off their next online order or in-person visit. You can find them inside of Marathon Village at thescreenthreads.com.
All right. Also, we want to announce something that we are incredibly excited about.
Part of the reason I've said hot chocolate is because that's...
you've got hot chocolate on the mind. We want to let you know of an incredible, kind of a very limited thing that we are doing here. Maybe a one-time only event for us. We want to make it worth your while. Stuart, do you want to introduce what we are doing?
Yeah, so this is something super unique, and I've actually talked about this on the walking tours. We've seemed to have a lot of interest in this, and this is a Nashville hot chocolate and history tour, and I will be leading this tour. So we'll be starting at Ascend Amphitheater and then heading to the Goat, which is in Sobro, and then after that we'll head to Mike's Ice Cream and have some of their delicious hot chocolate, and we'll finish the evening at Cafe Intermezzo, and they have the best hot chocolate in Nashville. But this is truly a unique tour that's never been done in Nashville, a hot chocolate and history tour. So you get to learn about the history of Nashville and drink hot chocolate. Like, I don't think you could beat that. This is happening December 18th. We're starting at 5 p.m. So please meet if you're interested in signing up. Tickets are $50 a ticket. You could sign up for multiple people. We only have 25 slots available.
Yeah,
these tickets may go very fast.
Yeah, these. If you want to do this again, December 18th, so it's about a week and a half away. I believe these will sell out fairly quickly. So if you want to reserve yours now, we do have limited space available. This probably won't expand past 25 people. So if you have family coming into town, you and your significant other want to enjoy kind of a nice date night, this is a very, very fun thing to do. December 18th at 5 p.m. You can learn more at explorenash.com and reserve your spots now. This is hot chocolate and history. It's a incredible, incredible night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I just want to talk about this hot chocolate quickly at Cafe Intermezzo. So they have this hot chocolate. It's called a peanut butter hot chocolate. And what they do is they take their cup, and on the inside of the cup, they basically cover the inside of the cup with peanut butter. And it is delicious. It is delightful. It is amazing. Book your tickets now, explorenash.com.
There you go. You can find the link also if you are following us on Instagram at xplr. explorenash.nash. You can find it in our link in our bio for Instagram. You can find it on our website, explorenash.com. So a lot of places where you can find out more information about this will also be in the show notes for this episode.
All right. So the last few days we've been talking about the East Bank and what's going to happen to the East Bank potentially.
Well,
this is all theory right now.
Well, we've talked a lot, but the reason we're talking about it this week is because Metro Planning released an 85-page findings from studies that they've done basically over the past year.
Yes.
And so they've kind of taken all of this information and put it in a form that is very digestible for what information was gathered during that study. So we've been talking about this all week long. So if you want to learn more about, we covered roads and possible bridges and all of that stuff during our first episode on Monday. We talked yesterday about greenways and what those are going to look like along the East Bank. And it's a very specific part of the East Bank. It's not all the way until Trinity Lane. It's a smaller portion of the East Bank, towards the very edge of Shelby Bottoms and the interstate all the way up to Topgolf. But today we are talking more green, not money. We are talking about parks in the East Bank.
There's going to be a lot of money invested.
Yeah, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Invested into this area. You thought the Oracle and Ford deal was a big deal. Just wait until East Bank becomes a reality.
Yeah.
So we're talking about parks today, and we have a great photo. This is slide number 46.
This is kind of where we left off yesterday, right?
Yeah, we showed this map twice yesterday.
Yeah.
But as you can see towards the Cumberland River, there's going to be a lot more green space. So the only two green spaces right now on that side of the river is the Cumberland Park, which is an amazing park that has a little like water amenities, walk-through trails, and then you have a little bit of the stadium landing. But according to this, they're going to be adding even more park to the stadium landing. That's called the active flex connector. I don't know what that actually means.
it sounds like a muscle.
You just need
to stretch your active flex connector.
Or it's something from like back in the future. And but if you look past Nissan Stadium to where the current juvenile detention center is, you're going to see on that side of the map, you have a performative landscape park. So I don't really know what that means. Then you have your neighborhood park.
I believe that must mean it's an area for maybe an amphitheater or a stage.
Yeah,
that's my guess, like they have at Cumberland Park.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely incredible. And then you also have the Cumberland Park extension over on the right-hand side, which is amazing. So right there, if you walk underneath that bridge, all of a sudden
walk underneath that bridge. It's fenced off.
It's fenced off. And then if you can walk underneath the bridge, because I have a couple times, all of a sudden you're like, why are these big gas tanks right here? Why are these things here? So that park's going to be extended. It looks like it's going to be extended even further up the river to another performative landscape park, so maybe another amphitheater.
Yep.
But the thing that still stands out to me is the community boat landing. I think that's going to be a huge aspect of downtown Nashville. The river is very underutilized, but we have some concepts and thoughts from other cities on what they've done with their riverfronts.
Yep, absolutely. So that's kind of where we left off yesterday. You can see those things. They go into a little more detail with specific aspects of what the parks will look like, what data they gathered. So if you're following along and you want to, this PDF is available in our show notes. We're going to head over to slide 32.
It's also available on our website. So if you just want to go to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com, you can just swallow their bomb and you can read all 85 pages on our website.
There you go. So here's some of the kind of community feedback. This is an exercise that a lot of people will do in these public meetings. They say, okay, you have $5 to spend, or you have $100 to spend. Where are you going to spend your $100 or however much money you're given? And nature trails was the number one expenditure out of the money that people were given. Marina second, event space third. Looks like dog park was last out of here.
I think we're dog parked out in Nashville.
Public swimming area.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Recreational fields and courts was number four. So your top five: playground, recreational fields, event space, marina, number one, nature trails.
I can see some basketball courts or tennis courts in this area. I do not see soccer fields or baseball fields in this area.
No, those are harder things to just kind of pick up and do. Basketball is a lot easier. Tennis is a lot easier to just kind of pick up and play.
But the nature trails, the event space, I think all of that can be incorporated into this general park. So we're going to go down to this next slide. And this is slide 33. And part of the reason we wanted to bring this up is because people voted for this stuff. And the first one got 21 votes, and this is 5 points. The place you take your family or go with to be with your friends.
What are they voting on?
So they're voting on like what type of things they want in the East Bank.
Yeah. So kind of, if you had to create an atmosphere from your nature areas and from your kind of amenities in your trails, how do you want it to feel?
Yes.
And it seemed like they really wanted it to be a mix of 5 points, Shelby Bottoms.
And Cheekwood.
And Cheekwood, which I think is actually pretty cool. And I think it's doable.
I think it's very doable, because I think if you can have a botanical garden on the riverfront with the downtown views, you're going to have an amazing place. So if Cheekwood, if you're listening to this and you want to expand to downtown, that may be the place for you to expand downtown.
I mean, it makes sense with the riverfront to have a really healthy ecosystem along the riverfront. And so with the kind of gardening and focus that Cheekwood has and bringing the correct type of environment to that area, mixed with the relaxing atmosphere of Shelby Bottoms and greenways and having a lot of native species along the greenway aspect, and continuing that feel through Shelby Bottoms through downtown is very important.
Well, then even getting some pizza like from 5 points where you can walk on these
trails. Have the walk up windows.
I think something that's very underutilized in Nashville parks is actually having vendors coming in and allowing vendors to sell like items like pizza or other food. And that's a thing like over in Centennial Park, I really wish they had more of, was vendors that were in this area. And so this is a, we've talked a lot about green, but part of the reason with all of these roads, what they want to do is green streets. So we also have this photo. This is slide number 42. So we're all over the place on this thing. But green streets using streetscape to help manage stormwater while beautifying the neighborhood. So we actually had a question on our YouTube channel yesterday about flooding. And so part of the reason that they're going to be doing a lot of this streetscape stuff is to help manage the stormwater.
Yeah.
And then also the Army Corps of Engineers is really going to go in there and see what flooding looks like in this area. Part of the reason you have some of these parks on the river is to allow flooding to happen in these parks.
Yeah. And honestly, that's the probably their number one challenge when developing the East Bank is realizing that a lot of the groundwater that could have been absorbed before is not going to be absorbed because of all the development that will be happening there. And so that is kind of top of mind, working with the Corps of Engineers and developing these kind of groundwater friendly and stormwater friendly and flood these kind of flood, I don't even know what to call it, but, making sure that the way that they're developing it prevents a lot of the groundwater from going directly into the river and flooding. And they're putting a big conscious effort into making sure that that's not a result of the development in the East Bank is lots of flooding.
Well, I think we were talking about this off air the other day. There's this new concrete, I believe, is coming out of Sweden or one of the like Norwegian countries. And it's a concrete that actually absorbs water and then tightens the concrete. So it strengthens the concrete. It's a very interesting concept. And then there's not much of this concrete in America yet. But this is something that can definitely help with the absorption of water and rainwater. Another thing I've seen in some other cities is what they do is under the streets, they put these empty containers that can hold 400,000 or 500,000 gallons of water.
Whoa.
And that's what absorbs some of the rainwater. And then they somehow allow, there's a system where they can seep out the water in that system when there is no rain. So it allows the land to re-nourish. So another thing that we wanted to show, and we showed this yesterday, but you can see all of that green space now on the river. And that looks amazing. Also, we have not talked about this, Wharf Park. We talked about this maybe a month ago.
We talked about this just slightly a little bit ago.
But imagine like having another pedestrian bridge or some boats like exchanging to go to these different parks. Like there's just so many opportunities with the parks on the river. And as I said, part of the reason you have these parks on the river is to allow flooding to happen.
Yeah. And so this is really kind of a good top down view of what the green space will look like and the parks will look like along the riverfront. I think it's all very interesting that in both renderings where we can see it, green space and where it will potentially be, that Nissan Stadium is included in all of this. Yeah,
they have green space on the Nissan Stadium, even though you can't publicly access that.
I think it's very interesting that they've done this. But let's head to the next slide in this, and this will show us a little bit of where they are getting some of their inspiration maybe for development along the river.
So a great example of development along the river is Chattanooga, Tennessee. I think what they have done in Chattanooga is fantastic. Down here is the aquarium, and then you have a pedestrian bridge near this area. But this is a great area of downtown Chattanooga, and they've truly utilized the Riverwalk and have a lot of arts and coffee shops. And they have boat docks, which Nashville doesn't really have. But Chattanooga is a great example. Do you have anything to say about Chattanooga from this photo?
No, this is not an area that I've explored probably as much as you have. But I do enjoy the boat dock kind of very seamlessly merging with the concrete development there.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Along the water.
And I think we can actually just scroll down to this. So this is, I actually have no idea what city this is or what example they're using for this, but this is maybe the idea of some of the parks in the area for the East Bank and what these could look like.
Yeah, some of the inspiration for this. So I think it's a very interesting concept to draw from, but, you know, we're getting into... I think more of what's on the right will be more of a modern design. It fits in with what is possibly going in near Trinity Lane, kind of okay. North end.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably going to be more of the look of what we'll see for that. On the left kind of looks like what maybe an extension of Cumberland Park could look like, because that kind of fits in with what Cumberland Park feels like currently.
Yeah.
But these are just coming out of the study, and so we're showing you what some of the inspirations are being drawn for this kind of green space sidewalk merging along the East Bank.
I think it's interesting with this rendering on the right hand side of the dog, it's missing most of the leash. There's a little bit of the leash, and then there's no leash.
Where'd you go, leash?
Yeah, so the dog's just in there in that rendering. I think, I think this is the next slide we want to show. And I think the photo we're showing on the right-hand side, I believe, is Boston, I think. But what they've done is
I'm not sure, but I like it.
Yeah.
So the left is a little bit of a...
It's very...
That's New York, I believe.
Yeah, I think
on,
so.
On the left, which New York has a lot of great riverfront stuff to draw from.
Well, the river there is huge, too.
Yeah.
The Hudson River is big. But what they've done in these areas, in these cities, is they allow the river basically to allow, like... It's kind of like wetlands. It feels like a wetlands area.
Yeah.
Where they have some type of, like... sidewalks around the wetlands and stuff.
Sure.
If you're listening to this and you're very confused, head over to our YouTube channel and look at these.
You're very
photos.
Confused. You fit right in with what's happening right
I'm
now.
Confused too, because I have no... I wish they tagged
I know.
The
I wish this was labeled, yeah.
Were, but I don't know if we have any other slides, but this is what the
we're
parks
gonna go,
could look like.
We're going to go up one more slide.
Okay.
To kind of this is more of a rendering and a conceptual view for how people might gather. So they might use pretty much as many concepts as they can to fit the easy. I mean, we have a lot of riverfront.
We do.
So we have a lot of possibilities to mix in all of these things. So really, they want to hit a couple goals here, according to this concept right here. They want to have new places for residents to gather. Along the water's edge, they want to incorporate resilient landscape features to help, quote, make room for the river and manage flooding. One of the things that's not mentioned in here, which I think actually will be a feature north of where this East Bank study has gone, is canals.
Yes.
Which could help kind of manage some of that flooding.
Yep.
And then the third point they make on this is they want to use this to provide new opportunities for Nashvillians to engage with the Cumberland River, which absolutely needs to be the case, because the Cumberland River, with as much benefit as it has right now, it's just what people drive over to get back and forth from East Nashville to downtown. Yeah. And it absolutely needs to be a lot more than that.
We have some very exciting opportunities with the Cumberland River in the spring. So stay forward to what we're going to be announcing in the spring for those. But tomorrow we're going to be talking about amenities and construction and possible restaurants going into the East Bank.
There you go. Don't forget about the hot chocolate tour, explorenash.com. Also, text us about your thoughts on the East Bank, 615-392-1358. We look forward to seeing you on that hot chocolate tour. And don't forget, Taco Weekend Nashville. Go there before the weekend. Hope you have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Nashville Daily. You can check us out over on Instagram at xplr.nash, as well as our YouTube channel, xplr.nash. For Nashville merch, we have you covered as well. Find that at xplr.life.
You can also text us at 615-392-1358. And for more exclusive content, head over to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. Nashville Daily is produced right here in the great city of Nashville. So if you like what we're doing, please give this podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends.